FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is October 18th, 2016. So everybody talks about quality, how important it is, but have we taken the eye off the ball? Are we seeing a failure in quality, a definite diminution, deterioration globally? And is that a result of the global supply chain coming off the rails? Well, Gordon T. Long, you know him well. He's actually an engineer by training, so who better to talk about it than you? Gordon, welcome back.
Thank you, Kerry. It's always a pleasure. Always enjoy our subjects. It seems that we always get off, at least I always take us off, and kind of being a data wonk and talking about things that everybody thinks are pretty boring. But you know, remember we talked about buybacks years ago and it became an issue.
Yeah.
And auto, remember our discussions on what was going to happen in the auto industry? And I see today Ford shutting down four plants and what was happening in the credit cycle. But you know, it's these little things in like this global supply chain you have to pay attention to, because it really tells you what's ahead of us and actually where to start looking for investments, or where, in some cases
where to flee. Where to flee, get away from it.
This global supply chain is something, you know, and Kerry, my background, and I was part of the Malcolm Baldrige team my years at IBM, which is the top quality award part of it, and I was involved in Six Sigma, TQM, and ISO 9000, all of these things. This was 25 years ago, Kerry. Where the time has gone. So we know how to do quality. I mean, Durand, Demings, all these people. But what's happened is with the pressure, with cheap money, it has, over a period of time, created unintended consequences in the global supply chain. And Samsung, you know, this battery problem that they have is actually, in my opinion, the tip of the iceberg of the issues. I know they got blindsided, but if we ever get inside of that or have the opportunity, we're going to find it was a component supplier of theirs, because there's so much fraudulent pirating and counterfeiting of parts that are going on right now, where they're selling brand names, but they're not brand products. They just put that on the box. And as blatant as that is, that's the kinds of things that are sneaking in. But that's not really the message. It's that, you know, we've had this quantitative easing. We all know about it, cheap money for a protracted period of time. And now we have unintended consequences. But, you know, it was about demand. It was supposed to be about creating demand, bringing demand forward. That's what we wanted, so that we get growth. Well, we can debate all day whether that was achieved or worked or whatever. But what did work is it created supply. Forget demand, supply. So we got the cheap money. Money meant so many manufacturers could ramp up, were forced to ramp up. People that shouldn't have entered. And we're not talking about America. We're talking about all of the emerging markets, China, Asia, et cetera. So the cheap money created this production ramp up. We have massive oversupply and overcapacity. When you get that, what happens? You know, because everybody added up the market share they were going to get, and it totaled thousands and thousands of percent, right? Somebody's going to lose in this. But what they're then forced to do is you start losing pricing power. You got to fight on price. And as you're losing pricing power, then the distribution people start dictating to you, and you got to cut more. Like Walmart just owns the distribution shelves or shelf space, and they tell players, you know, if you don't make this number, you're out of here. And that's been going on for quite a while. Well, we've reached other points now where it's getting into warranties and forcing them, instead of cutting costs, cutting corners. And it's the cutting corners where we're getting shoddy parts, lies, deceptions, fraud, cheating, declining quality, you know, throughout the process. And as we were talking about just before the show began, you know, Wells Fargo, which has nothing to do with this, is the example of the pressures that are coming from the top to perform, to make numbers that are unachievable, but they have to be made to keep the company alive. And then as you go down through the organization, people do as you would expect them to do.
Yeah.
Do whatever it is to make
human
their numbers.
Nature.
And then, of course, the CEO says, I didn't know this was going on. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
He probably didn't, but something had to give in the process. Am I making sense to you, Kerry? Am I just getting a little bit too much of a wonk here? But
No, it's this is really important, because it's a breakdown of standards. if you don't have standards, it's just like an Ivy League school just taking in students from all over the place because it looks good on some government report. And hey, do you want an affirmative action air traffic controller? Do you want an affirmative action dentist or heart surgeon? I don't know about you, but I don't. And the supply chain, I mean, this is an analogy. I mean, I'm against affirmative action. I believe in a meritocracy. But look, hey, what is it that that you are supposed to be doing? It's supposed to be furthering excellence, right?
Yeah, you know, if you're in an economy where you're producing more than you consume, you can afford to have what I'll call those kinds of luxuries and be idealistic, et cetera. But when you're in an economy that's consuming more than it produces, you have a shorter runway and you end up with problems. And right now, Kerry, we have, like, when you have a bottoms up, sound money, competitive capitalist economy, you end up getting more for less. Mm-hmm. But when you have a top-down, manipulated, overregulated fiat crony economy, you get less for more. And if you go through, and I can give you a whole series of examples, we're getting less and less for more and more. One show we talked about in the grocery stores. You know, you got to pick up a bottle and check the bottom of it to make sure it's not hollow on the inside, because you're getting, it looks the same, price is the same, but you're getting less volume. Okay, and you got to check the shelves. Mm-hmm. But it's moved out. This cutting the corners is getting broader and broader because of this overregulated in some cases, but the top down pressures and just the sheer competitiveness that's out there because of this cheap money. And you know what we need to understand is, you know, as we're steadily getting less and less for more and more, you know where that leads to, Kerry? That leads towards statism, centralization, totality. You get different types of governments when you start to get into this, especially with crony capitalism. I'm not trying to lead us there. I'm really worried about what's going on in the quality and the cost that it's baking in. I don't know what you're paying for maintenance, but you know, I was just about fell off my chair when I told somebody I had to pay $95 an hour for work on my boat, and they said, "Where are you getting it done?" And I says, "Why?" He said, "I'm paying $150 an hour." And I thought, "Oh my God, have I been out of touch here for a long period of time?" But I give you an example, Kerry. Just what I'm talking about, I did a show with Charles Hugh Smith, and I took in 6 weeks the kinds of issues that of quality that I personally seen, I saw. And so it's not a coincidence, and it's not some old man complaining. But one of the examples was in my boat. I mentioned I had my transmission went. That is an expensive proposition on a boat, Kerry, when you have to have it pulled with a crane and et cetera. So I had to have it done. So they pulled it out. And the transmission was sent to a specialty shop, rebuilt, comes back. We install the whole thing. I take it out for an acceptance run. The darn thing doesn't work. Ugh. Apparently it worked in the shop. Doesn't work. And I look at the guys and say, "Does it not working? Matter of fact, nothing's changed here. It's the same issue." Well, turns out it's the transmission. I says, "What's going on?" So they got a hold of the people who rebuilt it, and they said, "Nope, we did a perfect job. Wasn't us." Now all of a sudden they're fighting back and forth. Long story short,
finger pointing.
We had to pull a transmission, send it up to the people who had rebuilt it. They agreed to look at it, and then when they looked at it, they were kind of sheepish and they realized there was a problem. They tore it apart, and sure enough, it was a $3 part that had failed. And they said they had never seen that part failed. It was a standard component they automatically put in. And they said, "You know, but we hadn't paid attention, but it's a little thinner and a little more flexible than all the ones we've ever had before, but it's the same supplier we've always used." And that's what caused the problem. It broke almost immediately. Wow. Now, you know who has to absorb all of the costs associated with redoing that job? I didn't. The marina had to absorb it because they had to do the job twice. The rebuilt manufacturer, he redid it all for no cost, because it was, in this case, he just warranted. So no wonder costs are $95 an hour. They're absorbing all this quality issues. And I could go on, Kerry, from automotive problems to hardware on Dell and NIC cards, and et cetera, that we're seeing slipping in. And it's because of this issues in the supply chain. And here's the bottom line, Kerry. It's going to get worse because this is a tough, having been in the quality, it's a tough thing to, it takes a long time to get it fixed and get it working, but it can get broke very, very quickly. And what happens is when you layoffs and you downsize or you outsource, you have so many white spaces, you know, where Martha always talked to Betty, but we laid off Martha and Betty works over here and it's not working, but we don't know why. And it's because Martha and Betty always stood up and said, "Hey, beware of this." that was the sneaker net, if you would, that made things work.
Right.
Well, there's so much of that that's starting to sneak into the system. Are you seeing it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, more and more things just appear to not be working properly. And I think we had like decades of improved quality and better products. And now we're just seeing a reversal of that trend. It's definitely alarming.
We've taken really an eye alarming. Off the ball, and it's so easy to do. That's part of the whole issue with quality. That's why they call it CQI, continuous quality improvement. It is continuous. But I was talking to a friend of mine who's a head of global supply chain for a major biotech global corporation, and he says over the last 5 years, they've taken their eye off the ball. I looked at him. I says, you're in charge of it. How yeah. could you say that?
Yeah, he your says, job is to watch the ball.
It's your job, man. And he says, I haven't, but the point is, I only have so much resources and money, and budgets are cut, and there's so much vendor engineering. And when the vendors are not doing their cutting in turn, how do you police and get down to that level? It takes staff and time, and you have to rely on them until there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And so it's the steady cutting of resources at all levels that causes the problem. So yeah. They all think they've got quality programs in place, but they don't have the same staffing that they had, or at the bottom level, somebody cheating and they just don't have the resources to catch until it's too late. And part of it too, Carrie, is our product life cycles are so short now that, you know, you don't have time to test them to the degree they would that you want to or should do, because the problem will be obsolete or somebody will beat you to the market or you come too late and the new product's there. So I think in many cases we're now becoming the beta test sites, we, the consumer. For a lot of these products that are that just haven't been tested as rigorously as they should, or there's so many compatibility issues that they haven't they have to cut corners on to say, well, we really can't work on that. That's a legacy issue. We'll just leave it. And then somebody assumes that it's going to be compatible, and it's not. And we'll fix that in the next release. Meanwhile, you got a problem, and I've got examples of that where I went through and just got completely blindsided.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's definitely an issue. I've seen it over and over. Yeah, there's battery issues, Samsung. With the phones, Apple has had it. Recalls.
We're talking products and to some degree services on a global basis, but it's becoming broader based. I go into hospitals and nursing homes field that my wife's employed in, and I see signs at the nursing stations that say, we're being asked to do more and more with less and less. Eventually, we'll have to do everything with nothing.
Yeah.
And I got them proudly displayed.
I know. I've seen that poster.
So frustrated because there used to be, you know, when I used to visit, there'd be 12 nurses in a particular ward. Now there's three, and they're run off their feet. And then they have the turnover because they go somewhere else for $50 or $1 an hour more. And some of them are working two shifts. So we're squeezing everything everywhere. I was at a football game here watching our great Patriots playing. And if you go to a lot of games, you'll know that they're continuously stopping the game because they're waiting. They have to play a commercial on TV. So you're sitting there in the stadium wondering what's going on. And everybody knows, well, we're just waiting to get the sign so they can continue. So because of the amount of advertising. But I was watching at home one of the TV shows, and we have conversations during the commercials. And I turned a few weeks back and I counted them. I counted 15 commercials in one break. Now, some of them pretty short. We're getting more and more advertising and less content. And that's an example. We're getting more, less and less for more and more. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I sound like an old man and I'm whining here.
The good old days, they were so much better.
Well, no, they were not actually. They're just different today.
Yeah.
But it's a path that's a little unnerving that, that we're on here, that with this cost structure that's getting in, because we're still paying top buck for everything.
Yeah. Well, what do you think the solution is here, Gordon? Is there a solution? Less suppliers? We need more bankruptcies and mergers? Is it not enough competition? What's the cause?
Well, we have a system. We have a way of fixing this. It's in our system. It's called a recession.
Mm-hmm.
We need
trim the herd, huh?
Then we aren't allowed to use the R word, so I apologize for swearing here on your show. But the natural business cycle has a purging system that resets these things. It clears out the malinvestment, the oversupply, the players that shouldn't be there. It's a cleansing. It readjusts pricing. You get proper pricing that's going on. You things are priced so that if you buy at that price, you can make a profit as opposed to overextended prices. And then when it gets corrected, then you come out of a recovery and you have healthy, strong growth. But we cannot allow that corrective disallowed that corrective process to happen. This is to be expected what's going on here. This is what happens when you have such an extended period of cheap money without any natural corrective process. The thing that's frightening to me, Carrie, is I see a recession coming because the central banks do not have the capability of stopping the business cycle. They can delay it a little bit, but they can't. It's natural. It's like the credit cycle. But the next recession, I'm not sure we can handle it because of the amount of leverage that's already into the system. If the stock market corrected 15%, I'm not sure that they wouldn't lose control of the system.
Yeah, well, you know what it's like in the good old days when we had servers and such. You never wanted to shut your server off because you never knew if it was ever going to turn back on again. Mm-hmm. And that's what the problem is with our economic system. You never want to let that, the growth slow down because the system might just shut down and never come back on again, Gordon.
Well, that's what we're exposed to now because we've let this go on too long without the natural cleansing. So much leverage in the system and everything is so overextended because we've become a casino. Investments have become a casino game as opposed to really looking at free discounted cash flows and real value. And I'm not complaining here. I want to answer your question directly. It's political. We're afraid of a bad hair day. We have to have this sort of thing. And when you don't allow it, it's politically incorrect. You're going to have to pay a price eventually. And the longer you wait, the worse it's going to be. And look, this global supply chain. This is how pervasive the cancer is now getting. But yeah. I don't know about you. You don't see this on the nightly news at all, do you?
No, of course not. It's an important problem. Well, for one thing, these news readers, that's what they call them in Great Britain, and that's all they are, is news readers. They don't understand what a supply chain is, first of all, and therefore they wouldn't know what to do, how to fix one, if their lives depended upon it. So
life may depend on it at some point.
Well, hey, your life depends.
When the supply chain breaks down and you can't get food,
because
the credit cycle has stopped the trucking shipments, you'll suddenly realize how fragile our entire system is and how codependent it is. It is incredibly, it's incredibly complex, but on the other hand, it is so fragile.
When you take off on that airplane, that is the epitome of the successful supply chain operations in operation. You better hope that supply chain keeps working, because if not, we're all doomed. So anyway, something to think about.
You're beginning to scare me now. I'm about to catch an airplane.
Hey, well, that's that's where it really comes in. It's like ballet for complex industrial products, the supply chain. Well, it's something to think about. It's something that a lot of people really need to start thinking about, especially those people at the top of the economic supply chain there at the Federal Reserve and the central banks, because they're in large measure responsible for it. So let's get our acts together and start, rolling this economic suicide pact called central banking back, and let's get together. So Gordon, websites, where do we find you at now? Best place to read your work, watch your YouTubes?
A couple places. The best with Financial Repression Authority for anything that's macro. Or I have a new site, a new complex called Mata, S-I-I, all one word, .com, where we really look at macro analytics and try and put, try and equate some of these concepts into buying or shorting opportunities.
All right. And as always, you find a link to the sites on my site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, recently revamped. Hopefully you find it a better experience, a lot more visual content there. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter. I promise by the end of the week, it will go out, recounting recent experiences in China and other things taking place in the financial system. Gordon, always a pleasure. We will talk to you again soon. You be well.
Talk to you. Thank you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.